Hello and welcome to another Discourse About Discourse Educast. Today is Monday, April the 16th, and this week is going to be a hideously busy week for me in terms of talking about School 2.0. Tomorrow night I have two very important meetings. One is with what's called the SAC Committee, which is a committee of parents, students, administrators, teachers that gets to decide budget. And I've proposed on this podcast and in other formats as well what's called the Academy of Discovery model, where we it's a much more inquiry-based, constructivist technology integration model for middle school. And we get to decide, well, hopefully we get to decide how much money can be put toward buying laptops for that cause on Tuesday. Now, right before that meeting is an introduction and exploration to blogging that I'll be conducting for hopefully around 20 to 30 teachers from around the district. And what I've done for that is I've set up an S-present presentation, which is very much like PowerPoint, but it's much more interactive and you can embed it into things. And one of my students showed me, because he decided that it would be great for our wiki project, and it has been just awesome. There aren't as many templates and things like that, but the customization is just amazing, and you can add pictures from anywhere on the web and audio and all of these things very easily. It's so much more user-friendly than the Microsoft product. And so those are two important meetings, and then I have to gear up for a few other things that are going on. Last week I talked to Cameron Riley of the Podcast Network. He is a good friends with James Farmer, the guy who started up EduBlogs, and we talked about basically doing a show, a podcast show on his network, where I would interview a lot of experts in School 2.0 and technology integration and things like that, and it would be an avenue for people who are not in the vacuum of EduBlogging to actually hear about what is going on and what should become best practice in the home, in the school. And that to me is probably one of the most appealing ideas I've heard in a long, long time. And we had about 50-minute Skype conversation that I'll probably put up on this podcast at a later point. He also podcasted on his sort of general podcast. He has two. One's the Napoleon Bonaparte podcast that's education-based, and then the other one is Good Day World. And so he talks about general things, and so he podcasted our conversation. But he was talking about how, and we both came to the conclusion that if this is going to really happen, if School 2.0 is really going to happen, it has to leave the arena of the power users, of the early adopters, and it has to start becoming common language. And you know, that's why I'm teaching the introduction to blogging on Tuesday. That's why I really want to present to parents the Academy of Discovery model, because they're the ones who need to see it and to know that it exists, so that they can start becoming the largest supporters of it. Because once you have parents behind you and you have the non-users supporting it, especially in sort of a public education kind of way, then you really create that critical mass that I've talked about so many different times, where it becomes a movement. And right now I feel like if we can make School 2.0 into a real movement, not just this education movement, but into a movement that goes on into business, and goes on into really the students' lives, where they get that aspect of learning and wanting to learn. And nothing has punctuated that better than the two wiki projects that my students have engaged in. My favorite thing about it is that they no longer, at least some of them, not all of the students, but a lot of the students are no longer asking me, well, how do you do this? They think of something that they want to do, something that they think would be engaging, an engaging way to get the content out, and then they look for a solution to that. So one of my students wanted to present using a more interactive method. He found S-Present. Okay, some of my students decided, okay, I want to put some of myself into the wiki. I want to record a guitar riff to put in the background. Well, how do we do that? And so they got GCAS working and recorded on their cell phone their guitar, you know. And it's not the most amazing quality you've ever heard, but the idea of doing that to me is so engaging, where the students are no longer looking to me. I feel like I've empowered them to ask one another for help, and especially near the end of the year, they need to be able to do those sorts of things. I think that there should be, you know, some hand-holding and things like that closer to the beginning of the year, but when we get on into the latter part of the year, there's just no reason for me to keep holding on to them and being that gatekeeper. And I feel like a lot of times I'm looking for a way to structure the class where I do have some gatekeeping ability at the beginning of the period, where I'm like, okay, well, where are you guys at in your projects? And I still, I don't think that I've fully learned to let go of some of the aspects of authentic learning, because I keep wanting to check in to make sure that they are actually learning and learning the things that I think are important. And to a certain extent, I don't think that ever goes away. But I really think that they know what learning looks like now, and they could describe learning for me. And I'm looking forward to, almost more than anything else about this project, is the reflection at the end, where I get to ask them questions like, what did you do with this project that you could never have done in another way? Or what sorts of things do you value now in a class period that you did not value at the beginning of this project? You know, what makes collaboration work for you? Asking those kinds of questions and actually getting thoughtful responses, that's so hard when you're, you know, reading through a novel and simply just talking about the text and things like that. I think that there is so much room now where I could go in any direction, and we can talk about any avenue of learning without having to build something up from the ground, because they already have this ingrained in them. Okay, we're going to work on wikis. We are going to expand our ideas, link to one another. Okay, we're going to present in ways other than traditional text. That's instinctual now. And whether or not it was before the project, I think it doesn't matter so much, because now it's in the school day. One of the things that Cameron Riley said to me in our conversation was, he has come to the conclusion that school is a place where kids hang out, and at home is where the learning happens. And that to me is just wrong. And I was trying to kind of explain and express the vision that if that is what is happening, we should shut down the schools. There is no reason for an educational system to be that out of sync with its, I don't know, clientele. If the students are not truly learning in our places of education, then what is the reason for their existence? I think is one of the biggest things that I've come across. But I think that as institutions, schools are incredibly valuable. because they do give access to everyone, because they give the ability to have this set of skills and this this framework that allows students to sort of have a springboard for their ideas and gives them an avenue to present things to one another and to learn things that they wouldn't outside of school. And so the idea of this new podcast is that we would take the extended learning model or the Academy of Discovery model, whatever you want to say, and we would be talking about it. How can we extend learning beyond the classroom, beyond the people that are constantly talking about it on their blogs and podcasts? How do we extend it out into the rest of the world? How do we make this a movement? And that is the goal of this new podcast. And I hope to get quite a few people to interview who are excited about this idea. So if you're listening to this and you think you would be a good resource for a podcast like that, you have some ideas about how to engage people who want to know and who are very interested in looking at pushing the boundaries of the edublogosphere into sort of the greater blogosphere, and then into people who don't even read blogs. How do you reach them? How do you reach the people that don't listen to podcasts with a podcast? Okay, and so if you have some ideas about that, I'd really like to interview you, talk about it, Skype it, and record it, and put it on this podcast. I'm also very interested in any other avenues that you can think of that could expand the community of people talking about School 2.0 and you know, Web 2.0 technologies in the classroom. So this is something that I think will be explored in many future podcasts, and it may sort of change the direction of this podcast in order to sort of facilitate the greater discussion. Because right now I feel like, although I've had quite a few ideas that I have enjoyed and people have responded to, I think if I just keep on talking to myself, it doesn't create change in the way that I want it to. And so with that goal in mind, please leave a comment on bhwilcoff.podomatic.com or go to my blog at youngsonne.edublogs.org, and you can take a look at all of the writings that I'm doing about the subject, as well as check out the presentation that I'm doing on blogging and various links. And you may be listening to this and you may be one of the links that that I put up on the presentation. I'm also looking for collaborators in the classroom and things like that. I've got a few good contacts going right now. Somebody who's moving over to Madrid contacted me at an international school. I'm very excited about that. And a few people on Teachers Teaching Teachers who have just been doing some great things. And I'm very excited about where we can go in the classroom and where we can go with this greater discussion. So thanks for listening, and I hope to hear from you soon.